Today's exciting daf in Masechet Pesachim begins the new perek Ketzatzolin on daf Ayin Dalet, the front under Hilkei Perek. Ketzatzolin et haPesach. How exactly do we do the barbecuing of the Korban Pesach? Our problem over here is that it says V'achulta basar b'layla hazeh tzli eish u'matzot amorim yochmu. Now, tzli eish is more than just tzli, because what it means is that it has to be actually directly cooked by flames, not through any other medium, even those medium, if that medium itself is heated by flames. So obviously we can't boil it or something like that and produce a liquid. But how far do we have to worry about sources of heat from the flames that are cooking part of the meat affecting other parts of the meat? And that's really what our concern over here is in the Mishnah. We're going to end up seeing exactly what it is we're taking into consideration. So the first thing is, maybe inchpot shel rimon. What you do is you take a spit that is made out of pomegranate wood. I was going to ask why specifically we would be looking for pomegranate wood. And you insert it toch piv. You put it through its mouth and take it out through its anus, ad beit nekuvato. And that way, the area of the mouth is aimed downwards. And that's important to us, as we're going to see, because we want any blood from inside of the animal to be dripping outside through the beit hashrita. And then notenet kira'avet b'nei me'av, we've already removed the digestive system and we've washed it out and so on. So having all of those kishkes ready to be cooked, we cook them by putting them back into the animal, allowing them to be barbecued at the same time, together with the kira'ayim, the lower part of the legs, which are washed off and also are put inside. So says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says Rabbi Akiva, you can't do that. Because then basically what you're doing is you're using the body of the animal as a pot, so to speak. And you're putting this thing inside, and then you're not cooking them a la ish. So that would be coming bishulusa. I mean, that's like boiling them in a liquid. Ela tolin chutzalo. What you have to do is you have to hang these things, rashmans hang them on the spit outside of the animal. Rambam learns tolin means tolin betanur, not necessarily on the spit. It's obviously that because of that they have different children, apparently, how to learn the word gidim mikulas, as we'll see. Now, in Selina Ta Pesach, you have to be careful not to do the barbecuing of Korban Pesach on Ishbud. So you cannot use a metallic spit, which is a normal word for, we say Ishbud, but it means, of course, of metal. Velo ala askala, and not on a grill, which is also of metal. Now, the concern in all of these places is because metal is a good conductor. And so if you're going to use metal as the spit, the inside of the spit is going to end up getting very hot. Cooking whatever meat is it comes into contact with it, but then that means that meat will not be tzli eish. Same thing is true of a grill. You put something on a metallic grill. Anybody who's done a barbecue sees the difference in the parts of the meat that were exposed directly to the flames, the parts that are on the grill, which are seared by the metal that's in direct contact with them, and that's not called tzli eish. Omar Abit Sadok, well, I don't know, I know that there was a Maaseh Baram Gamliel who told Tavi, his Eved, Tzalei Lanu Et HaPesach Al HaAskala. He said to go and do Tzli on the grill. Omar is going to end up explaining that he was not really Chaylik on the Tana Kamar. We'll need to understand why he told that to Tavi. Says the Gemara, I don't get it, what is wrong with metal? That you're saying we have to use wood? I mean, it's very strange to use wood as a spit in the fire, isn't it? So v'netish al-matechet. But you see, the point of matechet is that it's a good conductor. An acute way of saying a good conductor in the language of the Gemara is, well, if some of it is hot, all of it is hot. So I did the cham mikzato, cham kuro. When you make some of it hot, that heat is transmitted throughout the material. In which case, kam matvim machmat ashpud. That means that what's going to happen is that you're basically cooking the meat through the heat in the actual spit instead of from the flames. Rachmanama tzli eish. The Torah specified that the tzli has to be done with fire and not tzli machmat davar acher. You cannot use other sources of heat, even though ultimately they come from fire, but that's not called tzli eish, but that means directly on the fire. Okay, fine. So I can't use the metal, I understand. But I mean, why pomegranate, for heaven's sakes? I mean, neite shel dekel. What's wrong with using palm, which is much more accessible? Can't we use palm wood? No, we can't. Because I did eat leishive mafik maya, vavik in vushal. If you take a look at the palm has very deep capillaries that are going up the wood through which you have sap that's going all the time. And these end up, when you cut a piece and you make a shpud out of it, there's going to be constant moisture that comes out when it's heated, and that is going to actually cook in liquid the area around it. You can't do that. Fine. So bring bring fig wood. I mean, I understand why pomegranate. Okay, I recognize that palm is very is that soft and it's watery, but fig isn't. True, but fig is mechalva. It has a basically it has a soft inner coating, not coating, a soft inner content, which we call moach. I mean, we call any type of inside a moach. But it means that that area becomes watery, and that water can come out. So either the mechalkel matik maya, and it's also mevushik. Fine. So bring pine, bring carob, bring sycamore. I don't know why in all of these cases we talk about pomegranate of all things. It's difficult to find. Expensive wood ruins the trees. What's wrong with using these other trees? Because I didn't eat kitri matik maya. If there's any type of knots, and there's always going to be a knot somewhere, and that knot is going to end up dripping. And that area will be a problem of non-sweet Asia. Well, I mean, a knot is nothing but a place where a branch branches off. I mean, obviously, a pomegranate's going to have knots as well. So then, if that's the case, so then, Shorimo Nami eat Be Kitre. How are you going to get away with that? True, it does. However, she ate Kitre. Rashi Ben Shi Kitre means like this. Shi Kitre means literally smooth. So the kesher, the knot, we use the same word in English, is smooth. It means that it's sort of like it. I mean, you would think that that means that it's naturally smooth, and because of that, there's no place for liquid to get out. But Rashi learns that Shi Kitre, the difference between pomegranate and other wood, is that in other wood, when you have a knot, it ends up being unsmooth, so that you have to cut it in order to whittle it down so that it looks like it's one piece. But because of that, it's affected by the knife with a lot of little cuts in it that's going to allow water to come out. Masha Inke, the pomegranate, is naturally, when you break off a branch, it doesn't leave a messy-looking knot, as you often see in other woods, where it sort of sticks out of the wood and everything. Anybody who's cut, you know, that kind of wood, eventually the knot starts to come out, and then you have to ask to be smoothed down. So there, you're going to end up with the pomegranate. You don't need to use a knife on a brush, in a sense. And therefore, you don't have the problem of having whittled on it. Or, you know, but it could be that what we're talking about is specifically to take a navgita barshata galet pekita, the pomegranate, when it's young, during its first year, it doesn't branch. And because of that, it's grown enough to get its spit off of it, but it's a spit that's not going to have any knots in it in the first place. You don't like the first terrors that the knots are different than the pomegranate.
Are we allowed to cut a fruit tree?
Yeah, if it's more valuable for what you're using it, then yeah, and obviously we're not destroying it.
But
what about the place where it's cut? I mean, the place where it's cut is always going to be leaking because, I mean, you're coming straight through the woods. Sap's going to be coming out. So you keep a basket. Well, obviously, mafikle basket of art. You have to have those parts clearly outside of the entire tlet. Now, the Mishnah that is saying that you cannot use metal is not going like Reb Yehuda. Not beating the local Reb Yehuda, because the Tanya, the Braita, Reb Yehuda says that Kishem Sheshput Shel Eitz, Enon Nisraf. Listen, guys, you put wood into a fire. So explain to me how you put wood into a fire without its burning. So obviously, it does not get hot enough in that shput to burn. If the Eitz doesn't burn, because it's basically you've got an animal there, and that's absorbing most of the heat. So then if you use metal, that means it's not getting hot enough in order to be able to cook. So then the shput Shel Matachadena Martia. No, that's not true at all. On the contrary, the metal is going to actually take whatever heat it is getting from the outside. It's going to go through the entire animal. But over here, it doesn't transmit that heat inside, and therefore maybe it doesn't get out enough to burn. But I mean, what does that prove about the metal? Okay, then we say v'notein et kira'av. So we have a machloket over here in the Mishnah. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you can actually put the kira'ayim and b'nei me'ayim inside of the animal, and that's not considered to be cooking in a liquid. It's considered to be altogether being cooked by the barbecue flames on the outside. So Rabbi Yishmael used to call his korban pesach a tuchtuch. Tuchtuch obviously is a lotion of pop, 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 pop. In other words, it was boiling on the inside. You used to hear it boiling, but he didn't consider that boiling. That was basically a barbecue with the juices coming out, and that is called Sli H. Rashi has a different gear, which he says is correct gear in all of the older Gemaras that we saw. But it didn't say tuch, it says tach bar. Tach bar is a combination of inside, outside, toch and bar at the same time. So in other words, it's filled with the inside is filled with other things, but it's noticeable from the outside, which would be the same way that you stuff meat, we see it from the outside, and because of that, it's not really being cooked inside, it's exposed to the fire. So he would call that a toch bar. And that's because he held, like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, clearly, because he would put the Kora'im and the Bnei Ma'am inside. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon used to call the Korban Pesach a Gedi Mikulas, the Lashon we had before. Rashi learns that Mikulas is from the Lashon of an armor helmet, which is called Kulsodanach is a metallic, a copper helmet that they used to use for armor to protect their heads. And according to Rashi, remember, what we do with the Kora'im and Bnei Ma'am is that we put it on the same spit, except we put it outside of the Gedi. So what that means is that the Gedi, the Beit HaShkita, is down towards the bottom. And then we have this stuff that is covering it, so it looks like it is armor, meaning it's dressed. And we call it dress.
It's straight up, not on a spit?
No, like it doesn't have to be straight, but it's enough for it to be able to be dripping, as we'll see later on. And he would call that a Gedi Mikulas. It's something like our Shvarma, basically. Only I'm Shvarma. No, great. Okay, so the way in which you were able to support it is that you had the thicker part of the wood, as Dustin points out, you put the thicker part in so that it comes out. You start with the thin part, but the thin part through its mouth, pull it out through its anus, meanwhile the thicker part is on the bottom, preventing the meat from falling. So even if it were completely vertical, like a shvarma, it wouldn't fall and it wouldn't boil, and that would allow all the dam to drip out from the open Beit HaShkita, which you've basically put this through. Okay, so the difference is, I mean, if you learn like the Rambam, that you're just hanging it, nearby, so the Mikulas just means it looks really nice, Hashem of Kilos. Remember, we had before that there were places that they were noeg to aser, any type of tzli, and all over we said that the Gedi Mikulas is easily mistaken for somebody who thinks he's allowed to eat a Korban Pesach outside of the Beit HaMikdash. And David Bisman has said, looks like you were mocked with Kachar Bachutz. What is that? That is only where it really does look like a Korban Pesach. So Korshit Tzala'o Kulo Ke'achah. That's where it's all being barbecued at one time. If you cut off a piece, Nechtach Mimenu Eivor, you cut off one leg or something, you know, and Nishalach Mimenu Eivor, and you boil one of those legs. That's not a Gedi Mikulas. What are you talking here? First you say if you cut it off, I mean you say you need to boil it, then you say if you boil it, I mean obviously if you tell me if I just cut it off, even though I'm roasting it there in the barbecue together with the rest of it, you said it's not a problem, that's not called a Gedi Mikulas because it doesn't look like a Korban Pesach. Obviously if I boil it, I mean for sure it wouldn't. Why do you need to even mention a case like that? I'm just, for heaven's sakes, I'm talking about if you boil one part of it without cutting it off. That's the point. So in other words, you might think, well, you know, it looks like it's all together like a Korban Pesach, but it's obvious that one of these Eivarim was left in a pot to boil before, and now you put it on the barbecue. So that is also, even though it's attached, because I consider it to be a Gedi Mikulas. If you show up in the Chubar. Now, obviously, in context of this whole issue, we need to consider the problem of, if I put stuff, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, according to Rabbi Shmuel, I put stuff inside the animal, why don't I have to worry about absorbing blood? Well, it's all very nice to talk about the question of whether it's considered to be boiled or it's considered to be barbecued, but why aren't we considering the question of Isser V'Heter? That doesn't seem to be on anybody's mind. I mean, if Lamaisa there's a problem here, then shouldn't there also be a problem of Dam? If you're saying it's not really like a barbecue, then you should be able to do that anytime. So, basically, what we have over here is a stuffed animal, and that leads us into the sugya, not discussing Korban Pesach. Omar Rabba, hai mulyata shari. Nonetheless, Rabba says that a mulyata means a stuffing, a meat stuffing. It's not talking about Korban Pesach in general. People would take a barbecue, and we see this, we do this, it's fancy meat. You'd stuff it with all kinds of other meat, you know, and then you put it on the barbecue. Now, meanwhile, what's happening is that let's just mention that when you barbecue meat, you do not need to salt the meat before the barbecue. Because basically what happens is that the heat itself draws out the blood. Whatever blood is there drips out. And therefore the meat that you get is meat that doesn't have a problem of dominant. Now Rashi says it's talking about over here that we put on salt for tzli, which is a little bit of salt. Tosfos is a famous machlokas. Tosfos says, what the heck? What's the point? Memanavshach. If you go ahead and you broil it and all of the damas come out, then all of the damas come out. If not all of the damas come out, it doesn't matter. Because even if the dam is in there, it hasn't come out. In other words, you're allowed to take a piece of raw meat that has not been salted and eat it. You don't need to take the dam out of meat. The only reason you need to take the dam out of meat is because if you're going to put it into a pot, then the meat, the water in the pot is going to have be mixed with blood, which is then going to be dam that was purged from the animal. Then it's usher. But dam inside of the evarim is not usher. So therefore, if the dam came out, it just dripped away. And so if it's on a barbecue, so you're not going to be eating it. And if it didn't come out, so then there's no issur in it. But what? Why would you want to salt it partially? What would be the point of that? Right. So I once had an actual story like this. It was a disaster. I was a mashgiach on a ship. I told you this story. And you cannot utilize salt to remove dam if it's been there for more than 3 days. It's sitting there more than 3 days. The only heter for such a thing, which is commonly used, is that if you, like, they used to have this problem with the Argentinian meat, you know. So you would bring the meat in unsalted, but by the time you got it, it was already 2 weeks old, right? And so the heter is that if meat is frozen solid, so then that's considered to stop all of the biological functions, and it's as if when you unfreeze it, it's the first day, and then you start counting your 3 days. Now, so here I'm on the ship, you know. I go into the freezer to take out meat for the... And all the boxes of the meat city, you know, lo nimlach. Hudach v'lo nimlach. Big letters, hudach v'lo nimlach. Say, oh, gosh, okay, so we're going to have to do the malicha. Oh, my God, what a mess. I take the meat out from the freezer. It's not frozen solid. It's very cold, but it's not frozen. The only heter is it's like completely and totally hard like a rock, which meant that the only thing that could be done with it was an entire ocean journey of 2 weeks of barbecue. And that was like a disaster. But in any event, so over here... Yeah. So over here, we have the machlokas with Rashi and Tosfos, whether you need some kind of tzli, some kind of melicha for tzli. But in any event, the point is that if you have a different type of meat that's inside, so now you should be having a problem, because the meat that is inside is going to be dripping out blood. You know, and that blood is going to be absorbed by the animal that's being cooked on the outside. You know, so, I mean, isn't that going to oscillate it with the absorption? And Rabbah says, no, it's not a problem. You can fill an animal with other meat, none of which has been salted. Obviously, if we're talking about salted meat, there's nothing to discuss. We're talking about unsalted meat. It's going to be dripping blood. So normally, if it's one piece of meat that's on a barbecue, you don't need to salt it. The blood just drips out. But over here, the blood is going to be absorbed by the other meat. Isn't that a problem? What are you going to do about the fact that it was bolea? It's boladama. It's going to be absorbing the meat, the blood from the other meat. So Rabbah said, why is that a problem? The meat that is absorbing blood is also dripping blood at the same time. It's exuding blood because of the heat of the barbecue. So it doesn't matter. Anything that's absorbed goes right out again. So kabol akach polta. You're not left with any blood inside of it, and therefore it's not a problem. Now, I mean, isn't our Mishnah exactly this case? Name it Misayeli. It says here in the Mishnah. Notein et kira avid b'nei me'av l'tocho. Here there's no problem. You're making a carbon pesach. You obviously have not salted it. And you're just going to be broiling it. And it says you can take the insides, take the legs, put it inside. And according to the Zanakama, it's not a problem. Why isn't there a problem of blood? My time. La bishem down in nikabolokach poltoa. Buy it, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it's clear from the Mishnah that Rabbah is right. Knows his body. That doesn't prove anything to me, because Amri, Shinei Hatam, the whole point of the Gdimi Kulas, that's what it says, that you're Tokhvola, Tokhpiv, and so on. So that does force us open the Beis HaShchita, and all of the blood is dripping downwards, and Kiva the Ike, Beis HaShchita, the Mechalkel, Midev Dayev. Over there, all the blood is going to drip out. I understand that that's not a problem, because any type of blood leakage inside is not going to be absorbed by the inside of the Gdi. It's going to drip down. But you're talking about Muyot. I mean, we ought to, for heaven's sakes. First of all, it's very often actually tied up, which is what we do when we are making a stuffing. You tie the place so it should be really well, the juices shouldn't have an opportunity to escape right away. Those juices, you tie up the, yeah, tie up the place. The same thing you do with a turkey. You tie up the turkey so your stuffing remains in there cooking well. You close it. Absolutely. So you certainly are not mocking. It should be mean and violent country. You want it to be the other way? I'm talking about, he's talking about Muyata. You're bringing me a rye from a carbon pesach where the whole idea is that the animal is there, talk with in such a way that's going to drip down. I don't get it. Well, okay. Name him Isayel, you say that doesn't prove it. How about from this? The thing is that normally, when you're going to be cooking an animal and it includes the heart, Okay, you're not remove the heart. Now, there's plenty of blood in the heart. So what you do over there is you cut open the heart in order to let the blood out, right? So koro gutsietomo. How about if you did not koro? So fine, so we cut it after the barbecue is finished. That way, all of the blood you'll get out of the heart. Well, what do you mean, all of the blood you'll get out of the heart? What about the problem of the heart muscle itself absorbing the blood that was in it? Isn't there a problem, according to Abaye? So clearly, Rabbah is right. It must be kibolo kapolto. That, yes, of course, there was absorption of the blood, but there was also exuding the same blood that was being absorbed all along, and therefore we don't care. If blood goes through, what's different? If blood goes through the meat, I mean, so what? It's come out of the meat. It goes in on one side, goes out on the other side. Sort of like learning the Daf Yomi. So, why isn't that a straight right? Isn't it because I'm in a Kabbalah Kachpoto like Rabbah? He says, well, no, it's not true. If you've ever cut open a heart, you will know that the lathe is different because the inside of the heart is covered by a very smooth membrane, specifically because of the fact that the last thing that we want biologically is for blood to be squished around by something that is not very smooth, which can cause all types of problems of coagulation, clots, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the heart is lined. It might as well be lined with smooth glass. Glass doesn't absorb, does it? Well, neither does the heart muscle. And therefore, shiny lave the shia. It is very smooth, and because of that, you don't have a problem. But he's talking about muyat, a piece of meat, that you're stuffing pieces of meat into. I mean, that's not smooth at all. So there, you should really have a problem of absorption. Well, come on. I mean, everybody knows that Ravin Saba was tafle baguzel rav. Ravin prepared a beautiful breaded bird for Rav. Now, that means that he took whatever fancy bird it was. I don't know, he was cooking for him, peacock, or whatever the minig was to eat in those days. And he has this breading, which was actually done with a raw kind of mostly flour or solet, which we call cream of the wheat, and he would put on the outside. And then he would barbecue the whole thing. Now, Lukhari had the same problem there. Blood dripping out of the bird, and it's being absorbed by the coating, the breading. And Rav says to him, well, if it tastes good, I want some. So imali tafle, look, if it's got a good taste for you, taste it first. And if it tastes good, have me there, I'll give you some. I'd eat it. So what about the problem of the dripping? So obviously, I mean, everybody knows the famous maaseh because it's bothered everybody. And it must be because we learn that the halacha is kibolo kachpolto. So even if blood was dripping out, it was dripping into the breading. But since the bread was exposed to the fire on the barbecue, it was drawn right out again by the flames of the barbecue. What's the difference? We don't care if it passes through. Yes, that's true, says the Gemara, but it also doesn't prove Rava's point. Because over there, they were using a very fine flour, which is semidah. And that's basically what we call cream of the wheat. And that does not stick together very well in a dough. Because of that, it has a lot of place for the blood to drip through. But let's say it had been a thick dough that wouldn't have allowed the blood out. Who's to say that that wouldn't have been a problem? And the case of the muliata, says Abaye, where over there it's all inside of a different animal and it's all tied up and sitting in there. Who's to say that you would allow kibolo kapolto in a case like this? Can you explain something to me? Why was it that some of the gears of Rabbah, it was Rabbah himself. So why is it that when Rabbah came to the Beit Galuta, and they prepared for him a duck, and they tafled bar avza, and they prepared it. You know, the Rebbe Shabbuta was a very, very high quality chef they had over there. Obviously, he was always trying to outdo the competition. And they had surrounded this duck before barbecue with a dough, and which should not be a problem, according to Rabbi. Yes, and yet what he. You're doing okay in there? And you're attacked by a broom. And he said, well, I just want everybody to know, if I had not seen with my own eyes, if I hadn't seen that coating, that bread, was absolutely clear, like clear white glass, and there was not the least hint of any reddish tinge to it, which would have indicated that it had blood in it, I wouldn't have eaten it. Lo achlamine. Now, why in the world lo achlamine? I mean, if you agree that We are summoned on the fact that any actual blood that was bitten would have been removed by the barbecue flames on the outside. Why in the world did Rava require that it would be Z? Why have to be clear? But there's a problem of some coloration. And coloration is not the issue. You're telling me that if it was Dom, that the Dom was already in the flood. We don't care about the color that's left of the Dom. And obviously there may be stains of color, but that's not called Dom. So then, lo zignami, so myariki zig. Why does that have to be clear? I don't get it. And if it was red, it should be a problem. Kilo zig would also be okay. Well, yes, in a normal case. But what they would use flour, white flour. It's the kind of thing that we would use. We don't use solid. The solid is mifra. White flour, however, makes a very tough dough. So that you have a pizza dough that they would use to surround the bird. And that would entrap the blood, and surely the blood would not come out so easily because it is tough. That type of flour, wheat flour, is kosher. Sure means it's kosher. The halakha l'maisa is like this. If you're using the soft flour, the semida, the cream of wheat, over there, it doesn't matter what its color is. Being asmik, being low asmik, it could be even red. It's still mutter. If it's chivarta, if it's however what we would use, or a white flour, which is, considered quite unhealthy nowadays. They use a solid white, makes almost like a paste, and then when it hardens into this hard dough. So over there, if it's really clear, through and through, kaziga chagara, then it's mutter. But if it's reddish, it means that it's trapped a dom in it, and it's us. Now, if you have normal flour, which is nowhere near as tough as the modern-day white flour, as you've got a lot of pieces of the hard part of the bran that's left and allows the blood to escape. Over there, if it's normal flour, there, if it's a deep red, then it's awesome. If it's not a deep red, then it would be okay, because all that's left is just a stain of the dom, but it's not really the dom. Now, just that you should know that mulyata, if you hold its usr, like Abaye was saying its usr, he holds its usr no matter what. Even if puma letakat, even if it would be in such a way that the mouth of the animal or the bird was facing downwards on the barbecue to allow the blood to escape, he would still hold that its usr. Now, why is that true? I thought we said before that the halacha was that even Abaye was mata, because since Feta Shita was lamata, midev daif. There's a lot of different approaches, Rich, among the acronym about this. First of all, it could very well be that for the Korban Pesach we're being mata, things that we wouldn't be mata in other cases because of the fact that it's nice and it's a good DNA. We're not going to be mata on something that be ikra than his mutter, but in other cases we're afraid maybe you'll partially close up the Beit HaShkita and so on, or maybe you're not supposed to do it l'chatchila and be semech on Kabbalah Koch Polto, or maybe because Mul Yata always closes up to some extent the Mokam of because you want it but after Bisan, whatever the case is, you should know that they were very mata on Mul Yata, and even if there was a place for the blood to escape, they considered it to be us. Mandashari, the one who is matir in the Rabba, he's matir not like a bayan, he's matir completely, even if puma la'el. What's the difference where the mouth is? Basically, the idea of here is kibolo kakoto, which means that the actual meat itself is exuding this dam. It doesn't need a place to escape through the actual blood vessels of the animal. It's escaping directly by the heat that is drawing it out of the body. Halacha l'maisa, mulyata is mutter under any circumstances, afilo puma le'el. Now remember back in Chulin, we had a machloket between Rav Acha and Ravina in three specific cases, which we will explain. The three cases are this, umtza, bei, umizr. Okay, so umtza refers to a nice thick piece of meat, and we'll see it's talking about that it turned deep red. Bei is referring to cooked testicles, and mizrke is referring to the carotid arteries are different gidim that are in the neck, which are difficult to they're around the Beit HaShkita, and they're difficult to clear of dam. So over there is a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina. Now, by the way, says Gemara, just an aside, you should know that b'kol haTorah kula, normally we have many, many machlokes in which Rav Acha is always taking the chumrah side, and Ravina is always taking the kula side, and in all of these cases, we paskin like Ravina, lekula. There are three cases, and that's these three cases. Levarmiani Tla, besides these three cases. In these three cases, Rav Acha is the one who takes the kula side, And Ravina was on the Zachorma side, and we're still consistent about our Psak being Makula, except that this time we pass like Ravach Makula. But we don't pass like Ravina in this case. So the halacha is like Ravach Makula. And here are the three cases. An umsa to asmik. So what happened is, over here you had a piece of steak and so on, and it turned deep red. Now that's an indication it's got a lot of blood in here. Now they, if you have, let's say, a whole side of meat or something that's deep red, if you cut it to get a steak out of it, and you salt it, then the din is that it's mutter to even cook that in a pot of water with anything else that you want. Afilo the kidera, it is mutter. If you put it on, without salting it, you put it on a spit, you can eat it without salting it. Chapter Bishpuda, it's mutter. Why? Because meat of dye of the blood drips out into the flames. But what about if you put it directly onto coals? That is where we've got the machlokas Ravacha Ravina, and we said in this case Ravacha is Lakula. So Achde Agumre, if you put the piece of meat, the steak, directly onto coals, what is the impact of a coal? One of them asers, and in this case we saw it as Ravina, and one is Mater. Now Ravina's for it is like this. You can use flames to draw out the blood, but if you touch it to a coal, it cauterizes the meat. It seals it up. And if it seals it up, the blood cannot escape. And therefore, it's mat, it's summit, and the blood has nowhere to go because that's absorbed by the meat, and then it's osur. Mandashari, Masha Einkein, in this case it was said that Ravach is matere, he holds that the heat is nonetheless draws out the blood and will force it out despite the cauterization, which only affects the capillaries. And therefore, it's mishav shoyim. Now, the same thing is true about cooking testicles. Now, the question over here is we're talking about uncut testicles that are surrounded by a membrane that holds in all of the dam. And chatchinu umalchinu. So if it's cut and then salted, afilu kedera shayin. And again, this is cookable and very popular in many societies, you know. In the West, they don't like serving grilled ox penis, which is a famous Tamani dish and things like that. But in plenty of cultures, it's quite popular. And of course, your hot dogs are, you know. I remember when I went to the Beis HaShkita and the sheikh chose me for this enormous testicle. I had no idea what it was. You know what this is? I said, no idea. My God. But, you know, your meat for your hot dogs, and you don't want to know what goes in there. So the Italian bishpuda, if you hang it on a spit, that's okay without salt because it's meat of diet. And there too, Achtina Agumi, you've got a problem because there you have the Machlokes Ravach Ravina, whether it's considered to be cauterized or whether it's considered to be drawn out. Chat Oser, Chat Shori, Manda Shori, Manda Oser says it's Matzvit Summit, as we saw, it's cauterized as Manda Shori, Mishav Shoyiv, and we have the same question, these Mizurke, which are these heavy type of gidim in the tzavar. There too, it doesn't release its dam very well, but if you cut it open, you do the malicha, it's butri for the kedera, and if you put it on a shpud, if the beit hashkita, the animal's facing down, then the blood has where to escape, and it's mutar. If it's, because it's meat of daya. If you put it on gumri, there pligu baravach ravina, chad asar v'chad shori. Mandi asar, says matmi, so is mandi shori, mishav shoyiv. Halach l'mais is that it's mishav shoyiv, we paskin, as we said earlier, that we go to kula. Now, an umsa to ask, you have a piece of meat that has turned deep red, you should know that the chawye is osur. Chawye is when you leave a piece of meat after you've cut the side and so on. Let's say you leave your piece of meat on the counter, you see the counter fills up with this reddish type of drippings. Which even if you buy your meat in the supermarket, when it defrosts, it's got a reddish dripping in it. That's called the chawye. And that is mutter. Again, it may be reddish, but it's not considered to be dam. We said just because something is red doesn't mean it has been a dam. The dam has already been removed, and therefore it ought to be mutter. But here we're saying that if it was a deep red umtza, the chalya is awesome. If it wasn't deep red, it was a normal piece of meat, then chalya short. Ravina Amar, this does not apply to American deep red, which they use red paint for to make the meat look fresh. You know? Ravina Amar, afilo lo asmik nami chalya asar, because you have to let beshurike dama. Ravina says, well, not even if it isn't deep red. I mean, look, there's got to be some remnants of blood left here in there that's causing the red coloration. Should always be asar. Shouldn't need to wash that off. Amali mar bar amemar, the Ravashi. Mar bar amemar said about his father amemar, well, you should know the Messiah may love to drink the blood. My father used to drink the kaya, and he was Megamele Gamuya. So you can't drink blood, but you can certainly, you know, get a He-Man's drink out of the kaya itself. And he didn't think there was any.
Mix the blood.
There you go. Yeah. So the Gamuya is mutter. He held it was mutter, and Dafka thought it was a very good health drink. Because it's red, even though it's mutter, it's red, and that's good for you. And some say actually Rav Ashi himself used to be Megamele Gamuya. Another thing, once we're on the topic, Marbar and Meimar is kulas and chumas. When he said to Ravashi that my dad, Meimar, that I chalat b'chalat b'chodat zimna, if he would use a vinegar to seal up a piece of meat, and would use this instead of salt, and would use it to draw out and then broil. He would never use it a second time because he considered that whatever it achieved the first time had weakened the vinegar, and now it's no longer useful. So tulo tani chalit be, he wouldn't do it a second time. I understand. I mean, you don't measure how powerful the vinegar is. There's weak vinegar, there's strong vinegar. I mean, why isn't it just weak vinegar now? So maishna michalam not tomorrow. I mean, there's vinegar that lechatchila might even be weaker than this vinegar that he used the second time. Why don't we need to measure the pH of the vinegar or something? I mean, I don't know. How do you say just because he used it one time? We used the weak vinegar chatchila.
Then you go after the show.
Yeah, after he'd used it.
There's no to the marinade.
What?
Not from the first use.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's like it's not machnis dam. It's motzida.
That's full.
Yeah, but the problem isn't the dam that's in. The problem is that it's no longer powerful enough to cauterize it.
So the active ingredients.
So that's exactly what he says. Because the difference is, if it may be weak vinegar, but whatever it is. It has some key of the pair. It has that sour vinegar be'ene, which is still be'ene. It hasn't been used up. Maybe it's less of it. In other words, there's less of a proportion of it in the water content, let's say. So maybe it's only 2% vinegar instead of 10% vinegar. But whatever vinegar is there, is vinegar. But that doesn't bother me. I'm not saying you need pure vinegar, obviously. You know, our vinegar is usually like a 5% vinegar. That's fine. But if you've used up the vinegar, then whatever percentage of vinegar is there is no longer kiyuta peri. That's the point. And it's different than saying the percentage of vinegar. So hachaleta le kiyuta peri be'ine, you no longer have the part that was the kiyuta peri. It's no longer powerful to do what it's done because it's chemically changed by its interaction with whatever it done did the first time. כיצד צלין את הפסר, מבין שפוג של רימון לתוך ולתוך פיו עד בית לקובתו, ונותן את כרעב את בנימיו לתוכו דיבר רבי יוסי הגלילי. רבי עקיבא אומר, כמין בישול הזה, you can't do that, אל תולין חוץ עלו. אין צלין את הפסח לא על השפוג ולא על האסקלה of metal. אומר רבי צדוק, מעשה ברבי גמליאל, שאומר לתו יעבדו, צאי אצלי לנו את הפסח על האסקלה. ונהייתי שום התחת, in which case, kamatve, the inside meat, machmat ashpud, not because of the yesh, but the Torah said, rachman amat sli yesh, velot sli machmat davar acher. All right, but why dafka shel rimon? Why not neiti shel dekel? Nah, you couldn't use dekel. I did eat le shivi mafik mayav, avik mevushel. Fine, so use teina. No. Teina is mechalkel, mafik mayav, avik mevushel. So bring charuv, bring shikma. Because in all of these cases, you have to worry about the knots. Well, Rimona has knots? Yes, but she kitre. Or, ibai tema, benavgeta barshata dolet be kitre. But what about the fact that the place where you cut it, to make paskia? Well, obviously, mafik be paskia lebar. Now, matnitinta lo Reb Yehuda, the Tanya. Reb Yehuda omer, kishem sheshput shel eitz eino nisraf, obviously the shput shel matechet is not hot enough, so it's not martiach. Omru lo zecha mitzato cham kulo, zecha mitzato eino cham kulo. Vino tenet kira av, now, lemaisa, the same achlokas we have in our mission between Reb Yossi and Reb Akiva, we have between Reb Yishmael and Reb Tarf. So Tanya, Reb Yishmael used to call his toch, or Rashi brings an older girsa, which is toch bar, which means that they were inside, and he held like Reb Yossi and Levi. Reb Tarfon used to call it a gdi mikulas, which means it was on the outside. Those places that were marked, but on this, people shouldn't be chayshig. From makriv kachim machutz bezman hazeh, kotz shetzila okulo ke'achad. But if you even were chotek one aver, or you boiled one aver, it's not called the gedim mikulas because it's no longer similar to the carbon pesach. Wait a minute. Ashti yeshrom in the tachim eno aver, even if you didn't cook it. So then, why do you have to worry about cooking it? So nishlak, me boy. Rav Shesh says, no, nishlak doesn't mean you cooked the piece you cut off. Nishlak means you could cook part of it while it was attached. Omar Rabba, haimul yata stuffing, a meat stuffing in another animal, is mut. Omar Rabba, what about the problem of being bole adam? Omar Rabba, bol akach polta, name of Israeli. Our Mishnah. How can you do that? What about the blood issue? My time. Over there, the blood is made of dayev, and it doesn't create an issue. Can we bring a raya from the following? Halev, you're supposed to cut open the heart before the bark. But how about if you didn't? Okay. So cut out the blood afterwards, and you can eat it. Now, what about the heart muscle itself? Why would it be mutter? My time. Love me shum de amino kivolo kakoto. No. Heart muscle is unique because the contents of the heart are always blood, and it is coated with a glass-like coating. The same way you can use your glasses for milchiks and fleishiks and not worry about the blia of the glass, so too you don't have to worry about the blia of a heart. It is coated with glass. And he told him, oh man, you taste that. If it tastes good, I want it. So if it's mali tafle havli veichol, yeah, but that's talking about a dough that was made out of semida, which is very crumbly, and it allows the blood to escape. It's mafrir, it's like pirurim. And what about the time that Rabba, son of the Girsav, was ikla l'veresh galuta, and they made him a breaded duck, and he said, well, yilod chazita dezik ezuzah chivra lo achim, if I hadn't seen that coating was as clear as a clear window pane, I wouldn't have eaten it. But if he holds kevalokach polto, who cares whether it's clear as a window pane or not? So my arikizak afilokilo zignan hatam bechivarta deshorir and hiokata de samida pein asmik bein lo asmik shari dechivarta. Well, you can only rely on that. If it's zik is a chivra, it's sharia. But if not, it's osir. Normal whole wheat kemach the shark machim asmik asur lo asmik shari. Hi muliata, you should know that whoever holds its osir even if puma latachas. Whoever holds its mutter even if puma is le'el, because the svar is not because the blood is escaping derech the peh. The svar is because of gebolo kach polto. So what difference does it make where the peh is? Umtza beyu mizrake. Pligi bar Ravacha Ravina. By the way, b'kola Torah kula. Ravacha always is l'chumra and Ravina is always l'kula. We always pass them like Ravina l'kula. Except for these three cases where Ravacha is the one who's l'kula. Ravina is the one that's l'chumra. And in this case, we pass like Ravacha l'kula. And here are the three cases. A side of an animal that was osmic. Okay, you cut it. Now, you take a steak knife, cut out a steak, and do malicha. If you do the malicha, you can even boil it afterwards in a kedera. It's no problem, because there's no dam in it, and it'd be mutter. If you put it, however, as raw meat onto a shpud, it's also mutter because the blood is meat of diet. The blood is drawn out, and that's fine, and it just drips into the fire. But how about if you put it down directly on the coals? So there it's about look, Zervach Ravina. One is asering, one is matering, of being. Manda asa says it cauterizes it, and therefore doesn't allow the dam out, so it's my summit. And the Manda Shari says no, but the heat, even of the coal, draws the blood out, and it's Mishav Shoev, it sucks it out. Ve'yolchatam Mishav Shoev, the halacha is that you can rely on it sucking out. The same thing is true about Bey. Satfino Achina Philip Ter Shayan, Talino Bishpuda, also Shayan, because made of Dayan. Achtino Agumre, we there too have the Machlok Supreme of Achravina, Chava Sarvachan Shori, Manda Sarmats Mis Thomas, Manda Shori, Mishav Shori. We have the same problem with Mizrake. Chat Hayom Malke Philip Ter Shari, Talia Be Shpuda, if the Beit Ashkita is Latata Shori, why? Because Mida Doi. Achte Agumre, you have the same machlokas there, Pligabar of Achravina, Charos of Achad Shori, Mandasar holds that it cauterizes him on the Shori, Mishav Shori. The halacha being Lakula, as we said in this case, like Rabacha, Hilkata Mishav Shori. A side of meat which is bright red, then you should know that the dripping from cutting it, from having it lie around there, the chaye is osir. But if it's just a normal piece of meat that was not osmic, so then it's not a problem at all, and you don't have to worry about the chaye, and the chala is mutter. Ravina says, not true. Even if it's not deep red, you still have to worry about the red color of the drippings from it, because it would be osir, because you have shidolet b'shurika dama. There's got to be some blood in there that's giving it that coloration. You should know that my dad on Mimar was Migamele Gemuya. I used to think it was a healthy drink. It was Migamele Gemuya. Abba would never reuse the challah, the challah bechada zimna. He would not do it a second time. Lo tani tu lo tani challah be. Why? It was too weak. So if that's the case, why don't we say something about weak vinegar l'chatchila? So my shem is halam metama that we do use for chaltinan bay, because this is not a game of percentages. It's a game of whether whatever the percentage of the vinegar is there, whether it has kiyud aperi, comes kiyud aperi to benene, or chalat el kiyud aperi be enene.